episode is sponsored by Raise Tech, end-to-end IT solutions for your business growth.
Hello, everyone. Once again, we're back here in the Talks on the Agile Couch in Agile Tour Vilnius 2023. And we have Algirdas joining us, Centauro business solution, business analyst, but also Agile enthusiast. That's that's how I should present you. That's what we agreed, at least.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining. Nice to have you here. Yeah. And I know that you will also be having a your own presentation tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm right? gonna talk. I'm a Scrum Master. Now what?
So that's let's touch upon that then. Mm-hmm. So now what, right? What? Maybe let's get one step back. You know, I'm a Scrum Master, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to be a Scrum Master then? Yeah. What is this Scrum Master?
Yeah. So in my talk, I'll be going over some silly scenarios of, okay, are you a Scrum Master when you lead your first daily stand-up, when you answer things of what didn't go well in your first retrospective, when you pass your professional Scrum Master 1 certificate, does this thing make you a Scrum Master? And when I'm talking about the Scrum Master, I'm not talking about only doing Scrum. I'm talking about Kanban, extreme programming, OKRs, KPIs, anything related to Agile. I'm talking about those people that try to manage that whole process. Mm-hmm. So in my slides, I'll be talking about 6 points that you should be able to answer yes to in order to be able to call yourself an actual Scrum Master.
Okay, so basically predefine the list that you can sort of check yourself whether you're an actual Scrum Master, right? Yeah. You can call yourself a Scrum Master.
Or things that you need to improve on to be able to consider yourself an actual Scrum Master.
Okay, that's interesting. So what are those points? I'm very keen to know one. I know I will be able to know this tomorrow, and probably when we're posting this video, everyone will know already, but let's get into that maybe.
So the first one is the most obvious one, to understand the framework and the principles of what you're working with. So if it's Scrum, it's the artifacts, the events, the roles of the people. If it's Kanban, it's how to visualize the work and how to limit work in progress and everything else. So if you're doing one or other framework, you should be able to understand and explain it to others without, you know, extra need to dig into deeper. Then the second one is to facilitate the framework events and coach on them. So for example, if you're having a daily stand-up right now, then I would be able to just lead the event without any trouble. And obviously there are frameworks without specific events, but even for Kanban, doing a catch-up or a stand-up is very beneficial sometimes. Then the third point is to practice servant leadership and removing impediments, because as a Scrum Master, you don't necessarily have to do things yourself, but you need to make sure that they happen. Fourth point is to promote a culture of continuous improvement, because if you're stagnant, you're not agile, you're not improving yourself, and agile is basically just small increments to make yourself better each time. Fifth point, resolve conflicts and collaborate with stakeholders. So this is something that needs to happen for you as a Scrum Master. You need to be able to represent your team. You need to be able to find the right stakeholders and your dependencies on other teams or anybody like that, because eventually you're gonna have to be able to stand with your team, and you need to have the same front with them.
Yeah.
And the last point is to foster empirical process control and learning, because if you're going by just feeling, you're missing out a lot. If you're going by data and feeling, then that's the best approach that you can do. Because if you're not looking at data, you're just missing the point to be able to say that, hey, yes, we improved, or this is not working for us, or anything in between for that.
Okay. From your experience, which point is the hardest one to grasp then, from the ones that you just described to us?
So from my personal experience, it would be to talk with stakeholders and to manage their expectations, because there are a lot of misunderstandings where you go, hey, we got an estimate. We say, okay, we're going to deliver it on Friday or in 3 days, which is, becomes Friday. And then on Monday, somebody comes, hey, why didn't you deliver, guys? And then we find out we had blockers, we had other things, and people start to take the estimates or anything you say for granted without even consulting with you, because you're not managing those expectations of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not managing expectations, they will create their own. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they align with what you said.
Okay. You were mentioning that, you know, the coach needs to know the framework, or the mm-hmm. Scrum Master
yeah.
Needs to know the frameworks, right? So if it's, if you work with Scrum, you know what Scrum is. But I will challenge you with this thought. I think that the Scrum Master, if it's Scrum, for mm-hmm. example, need to know not only the frameworks, but its limitations.
Yes.
And what it's good for, what it's bad for. And also not only to understand it by knowing what kind of mm-hmm. events and ceremonies and, you know, roles and whatever needs to be there, but also understand the underlying principles. As we had in a keynote in the very morning, that was mentioned that Scrum Guide isn't a complete thing, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you all the answers. You
yeah.
need to find some as well. So do you agree with that? And how do you incorporate this then?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because in order to understand, yes, you can read it, you can memorize it, you can be able, you know, to pull it out in front of your face and just read it and guide people that, yes, we must follow the Scrum principles or whatever and nothing else. But when I'm saying that you need to understand it, I mean that you need to be an expert of it. And an expert knows that, hey, we have these values here. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need to break the rules. Sometimes we need to adapt. Sometimes this framework does not work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that expert knowledge comes in, as you say, the limitations of it. Because yes, there are cases where Scrum is not a better option for you. Maybe complete chaos is the best option for you if you're working in mm-hmm. some strange environment.
Yeah. Is Scrum Master a role that's meant to be obsolete?
Not really, because in the core essence of being a Scrum Master, you're not adding something to the team, you're multiplying the output of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal is not to add plus one story point per week to the team.
Yeah, of course.
Your goal should be to, if the team is outputting 10 story points per week, how to make it 11, 12, 15, and so on. So it's not, yes, it can be obsolete if somebody else in the team wants to do it together, mm-hmm. but then they're limiting their own capability. So I think there are benefits, especially if it's a bigger team, to have it as a separate role.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I wanted to dig mm-hmm. into then. Should Scrum Master be as a, you know, separate role, or should
yeah.
it be embedded into, you know, one of the team members?
Mm-hmm.
What is the better practice here?
Yeah. So from my experience, if it's a small team of, let's say, 4 people, then it should probably be embedded, because the team of just a Scrum Master and 3 developers is very small. But if that Scrum Master can also do some development, some testing, some other kind of work,
mm-hmm.
then it brings more value to the team. And because if you're losing 25% of a team, your output is definitely going to be much smaller. Obviously, you can outperform it with improvements and everything, but Scrum Masters really shine when it's a bigger team. So I'm considering bigger team, 8 people or 7 people, it's already quite a big team. After that size, I would consider even splitting the teams, and then maybe a Scrum Master could be a Scrum Master for both of those teams or something like that.
Okay, but should we aim to have like a Scrum Master that is a voting, person resource that, you know, that
he or she can come fix some stuff, and then, you know, maybe also join another teams and, you know, sort of a go through it around. Or I think it's better just if it's a team, then it has a scrum master, it's a full-time role there, and nothing basically, you know, it shouldn't be that all over the place.
Yeah, so depending on the team's life cycle, I would say, because if it's a completely new team, nobody has done anything with Scrum or Agile or anything like that, then obviously being a Scrum Master for just that team is going to be a full-time job. You're going to need to coach the team, guide the team into the right approaches, resolve conflicts, because there's always storming in team life cycles. At some point in time, the team is going to stabilize. It's going to know what they're doing, how they're doing, how much they can actually achieve. And at that point, the Scrum Master becomes of more of a consultant. He can, he or she can guide the team into looking for some things. But in most cases, at that level, the team is self-organizing to most of the extent. And the Scrum Master can look at other opportunities to maybe look at the department of, okay, are we collaborating good enough? Is anybody else or other teams are doing Scrum or Agile or any other format? Or, and okay, how do we interact in between teams? How can we make it better? So the Scrum Master doesn't become obsolete. He needs to grow as well in the scope of how much he's actually impacting, not just the team, but then the whole department and eventually the whole company.
All right. Maybe, you know, one of the last questions then, you know, you mentioned those six points, six elements that you need to master in order to call yourself a Scrum Master for at least in the beginning. How fast one can get there? Is it enough to get those trainings, right, that you go and certify yourself, and or you need to have, I don't know, at least X amount of years of, you know, experience so that you can actually master those six elements? And I, of course, it comes person to person and so on, but you know, any rule of thumb here?
Yeah, so the obvious answer for knowledge and, you know, passing certificates, yes, that helps, because that gives you all the theories of what it is on paper. But for being a good Scrum Master, because you can be a Scrum Master, you know, just in title and not do anything.
Yeah.
But being a good Scrum Master definitely needs real-time practice. So one of the recap points at the end of my speech will be to get good. And obviously, you can't get good without actually doing it.
Yeah.
Because as one of the opening keynotes, everything sucks, planning sucks, every plan you make sucks, but then you do something to change that plan and it sucks less and less and less. So it's being a Scrum Master technically can be a beginner role, but the more you do it, the better at it you are, and the easier it gets. So if you know how to transform a team from nothing to being efficient, then it becomes easy. If you don't know even what kind of framework the team could be using, then it's becoming a very difficult role. Obviously, you can do it, but will you be good at it? Nobody knows. That's where it differs from person to person.
Okay. All right. Practice makes perfect,
yeah,
probably. So yes, thank you, Algirdai, for joining us today. Have a great speech tomorrow. Good luck there. And yeah, probably see you around.
Yeah, will do. Thank you for having me.
Bye.